You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And away we go. Monday morning, March the 18th. You are with us, which means you are still alive. Congratulations to you and yours. It is DNR. There is a lot going on. The NCAA brackets are out. The Islanders lose to the Rangers, which means we all get a free breakfast tomorrow morning thanks to our good friend Rick DiPietro. Pete Alonso, little update with him and the New York Mets. The Jets making moves. So much to do. Good morning, Rick DiPietro. How are you?
And you got to send out a nasty tweet, don't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
I sure did.
Yeah, real nice.
That's
real
right.
Classy.
I wasn't trying to be classy.
Yeah, real class act you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, listen, I deserve it.
Don't bury the lead.
No, Rangers are better.
You
let
open
me tell
your mouth.
You.
Rangers are better than the Islanders.
Rangers are a better team than the Islanders. Rangers, listen, the Rangers on the second game of a back-to-back are the best team in the NHL.
I think they're undefeated, right?
They have one loss. Are they 11-1? Second game of a back-to-back?
My goodness.
And they came out flying.
Yeah, they were flying. And then they fell behind.
It was a weird play, though, too, because Igor thought it was icing.
Right.
Puck ends up going through his crease right to Horvat, and he ends up scoring.
Hell of a pass, though.
Hell of a pass. It's just... we blow a game to Ottawa that we should have won.
Well,
and then we show up too soft in the middle of the ice. It's not good enough. So you guys can order what you want. Breakfast nice. On me tomorrow. Congratulations.
Nice. Now, you hear that, RJ? Raymond? You guys had a free breakfast regardless.
They got us two other free breakfasts.
Yeah. But tomorrow morning, free breakfast, we can order whatever we'd like.
Anything. You name it.
Big thing of bacon.
Oh,
bagels.
Yeah. Crispy bacon, bagels.
Oh. Raymond, what do you think about ordering?
Oh, I think you know what I'm ordering.
You're ordering a bagel.
Nice bacon, egg, and cheese.
Oh, bacon, egg, and cheese, man. You don't even know him.
I don't even know him. Man loves a bagel. We talked about the bagel the other day, how much he loves it.
No, he loves the bagel, but the bacon,
omelets,
the bacon, egg,
omelets
and cheese,
solid, too.
It's what he likes.
Why don't you do like a John Winthrop and get a double breakfast or one large breakfast?
I could get you a bacon and cheese omelet with a bagel on the side.
It's also doable.
That's nice,
too. We have options here.
That's classy, too. That's nice.
Very, very nice.
Maybe I'll do that. Hey, listen, maybe I'll just surprise you guys with just a nice little
a melange. Sport.
Yeah, a melange of breakfast treats.
That would be nice. It really would be nice. So, yeah, Rangers. Now, the bad news for the Rangers is this Ryan Lindgren injury did not look good at all.
It did not look good, no.
Kind
of hyperextended that left knee going into the boards. That guy is he takes such a beating.
I have never seen, this is sincere, an athlete get hurt more consistently than Ryan Lindgren.
He plays so hard, man. He plays so hard, and he's always getting nicked up. You got Trouba now Lindgren, and I think the one thing we've noticed when Lindgren is out, not necessarily great for Adam Fox. That's kind of it puts him in a tough spot because Adam Fox is not great defensively, and he has the safety blanket of knowing that Lindgren's always going to be there for him.
Right.
But hopefully it's nothing too serious.
I don't know. I mean, it looked awful. And then you get the thing that gives me some pause to actually think maybe it's not is that Raymond had the exact same tweet or text to us that he had when Brunson got hurt. And that was a nothing, right? So, well, again, yesterday, what was it like? Season over for Lindgren.
Well, I hope that's not the case. And it didn't look good. I mean, it's another one of those ones where he couldn't put weight on it. I mean, kept it straight. They had to help him off the ice. And you know how tough he is. So, I mean, we'll see. He's going to get all the testing done and everything else. But that would be a huge loss for you guys. Huge.
A huge. That would be absolutely brutal. So, we have a lot going on here. Obviously, we're going to get into the college basketball. The Jets have not one but two tackles, and they're still in it for more. Pete Alonso and Steve Cohen, there's some updates there that we'll certainly get into. So, what do you want to do, a little college basketball and into the Jets? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the big story, I think, is for me, the Jets – and what Joe Douglas has been able to do. Aaron's not running for vice president, which is great, but I know you're correct.
Aaron's not running for vice president.
That's correct. So he'll be back. And then I'm sure you're going to complain like everyone else, including myself, about the college basketball.
Well, it's funny. I'm torn here, and I'll tell you why. The first reason is, if you can't be one of 68 teams, do you deserve to go? Right? That's my, like,
no, but I don't think that's the question, though.
Is a lot of teams, no. But I think the issue is, do St. John's and Seton Hall deserve to go over some of the teams that wound up going? Now, what happened was, and anyone that's, you know, doesn't 100% know, and it certainly will inform you, is that there was so, I don't ever remember this many teams that were not anticipated going wind up going to the big dance. Like NC State. If NC State doesn't go, right, if they don't win five games in 5 days, which, by the way, they've won now more games in Washington, D.C. than Georgetown has in, like, the last year and a half.
I still don't understand why you're still a fan of them.
Because that's my team.
It's like you want to punish yourself.
No, listen, it doesn't pain me the same way because they've been so bad, but that's the team that I root for. But, like, if NC State, did you see, by the way, the worst thing almost you've ever seen? The Akron game? Did you see what happened there?
The Akron game.
Yeah, you could say no, it's fine.
I'm trying to figure out which game you're talking about. When all the stuff came out of the...
I don't even remember. Akron is playing, and RJ might even remember. I forget who they're playing. So Akron is playing, right? They are down one. They go in 8 seconds, 7, 6. They hit a little floater, little shot. They go up one. One of the guys on their team thinks they're down one. The ball gets inbounded. He fouls up one intentionally with 5 seconds left.
I did. I didn't see
it.
It might
have been against Kent State.
It was Kent State. It's one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen.
I don't know. I'm being fully transparent. I don't know how, if you're that guy, you will get out of bed for a month.
The reverse J.R. Smith.
What was the J.R. Smith?
When he ran around with the ball.
Oh, right. LeBron. Right.
Remember LeBron was
of course, in game one. Yeah, I was thinking J.R. Smith on the Knicks. Yes, on the Cavs when he had the ball. And he didn't want any part of shooting. Yes, but this guy, he fouled intentionally, and they lost the game. But there's so many teams. Oregon was not going to go. Many teams that wound up going that wouldn't have gone. So, yeah, St. John's and Seton Hall got hosed. There's no doubt about it. I don't understand how a conference like the Big East, which you look at, best team in college basketball, whether they win or not, is UConn. That's hands down, okay? Marquette is a terrific team, and they've been without their best player for quite some time now in Tyler Kolek. And then Creighton is a terrific team as well. Those are the three teams you send. The Big East sent three teams. The Mountain West sent six.
Yeah. Well, you said it too. I think the biggest disconnect for a lot of people. And by the way, was it DJ Burns for NC State?
Yeah,
I watched that guy. I could watch that guy play basketball all day long.
I don't understand. I've never seen anything like it. What would you say?
I love it.
He must be over 300 pounds.
They have him. Right? I actually checked as I was watching.
They enlisted at 270?
275.
There's a better chance that I'm 150 than he's 275.
That is a big. Boy,
I have never seen anything like it. And the way they defend him is wild. They won't double him. So it's like,
he's too
big. 275. He gets the ball. I'm not even exaggerating. Like 18 feet away from the basket. And it's like, all right, let's get to work. Dribble, dribble, back in, back in, back in, back in. No, they won't double him at all. And he winds up getting these great looks from 4 feet out. No, and at first I thought, and I've seen him play before. At first I thought, boy, you know what? This is a guy who's just owning, like, Duke doesn't really have a legitimate big guy. And then he did against Virginia. And then to make matters even more convincing of how good, in fact, and tough he is, he owned Armando Bacot on Saturday night. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I mean, then you have to, you actually have a North Carolina fan in your house, diehard fan. So I can imagine how that those conversations
let's just
went.
Say DJ Burns would not be welcome in my home right now. I mean, you should have. Alex was going through a battle within his own mind. It was unbelievable. He starts the game. Well, you know what? Why are we even playing the starters? We have a one. That's what Joe Lunardi says. It's locked away. It's like, Alex, it doesn't work like that in college basketball. You don't. It's on the NFL where week 18, you're like, you know, we have it all wrapped up. You're trying to win an ACC championship. It matters. Why? I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'm like, great. He doesn't care. This will be a, yeah. That lasted for about 2.5 minutes. He's like, cover the fat guy. He's like, stop letting the fat guy go one-on-one. Like, Alex, stop. Calm down. And then, like, second half, I'm like, you know what? I think Carolina's going to lose. He turns to me and goes, you know what? Can you be quiet, please? You talk way too much.
Ugh.
I was like, oh, my God.
He's taking over the house.
He's an animal.
He's taking it over.
And then I get a dementia. He goes, so did North Carolina win? I was like, did North Carolina win? I was like, what home were you in for the first half of this game, for the, you know, first half of the night? She's like, I didn't realize I was not paying attention to him. I was like, I don't know how you could have avoided it. So, yeah. If you're a St. John's or a Seton Hall fan, you are horrified this morning at what happened.
How about if you're an Indiana State fan?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing
like,
is
why have these ratings? I think that's the point. Like, why have these rankings?
Right, like the net rankings and the overall power rankings.
The Ken Palm, all these rankings. Like, why have them then if you're not going to follow them? So St. John's was actually, net rating was 32.
Right. And Patino, I don't know if you heard Patino, he said, throw these out the window. They are irrelevant, these rankings.
Okay, so 32 was going to be the highest to be left out of the tournament. NC State in 2019 was 33rd. Indiana State was 29th, and they got left out of the tournament.
Yeah, and they won the regular season, is it the Missouri Valley, I think, that they're in, and they went down to the nubs of the championship game in the conference finals. I mean, what... Outside of winning it, and then you know you don't have to worry, what more are you supposed to do if you're a team like that?
Right. So I think that's the biggest problem that everyone has, is that why have these rankings if you're not going to actually use them?
I think it's fair. Here's Rick Pitino, who just is, he's done with all of it.
I think we all should probably never mention that word again because I think it's fraudulent. I think the Nets are something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore. We had a good strength of schedule. Ken Palm, why mention him? We were 26 in Ken Palm. We tried to play a tough schedule. We tried to do things the right way. We didn't get in, but I never make excuses. I respect the committee for what they do. They give their time. They give their energy to it. They didn't think that we measured up to their standards, and we'll take it very positively like men and move forward. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to say, we got screwed. What happened? None of that helps. Bitterness does not help. I've had enough bitterness in my life to last a lifetime.
You know, it's funny. Bitterness does not help. Are they going to the NIT? No. Why are they not going to the NIT? We don't need that.
You also have to deal with the transfer portal and your recruiting, too. So why waste time?
You should go. Because you should go.
Well, listen, man, I think it's more important probably what happens with getting your team in order for next season than it is what happens in the NIT. I get what you're saying. I understand it. You were invited.
I know you saw Tom Crean had an impassioned speech last night.
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
Yeah, saying that it's disgraceful to not go.
Well, it's also disgraceful, I mean, in theory, being left out of the tournament when clearly, like, I mean, the things that they're supposed to be using, and I think you did a good job of just explaining how many teams that weren't expected to win their conference championships actually won. And got automatic bids. But still, like, I mean, you point to these things and you have all these, you know, advanced analytics and numbers and everything else. And, you know, St. John's goes on a 6-game winning streak. They take the best team in college basketball. I mean, they lose by 95-90. They scored 90 on UConn. They avenge their loss to Seton Hall. They beat Creighton. It's like, okay, and we're sitting here. We're 32nd in net. We're, he said 26, but I think they were 25th in Ken Palm. Like, what? Okay, so.
Yeah, there's I mean, the only thing you could say is that, I mean, I actually feel worse for a team like Indiana State, like you mentioned, because Indiana State had a great regular season. Like, you could say St. John's is right there on the bubble, which in fact they were, and if certain upsets, like UAB wins the whatever, AAC, like you have all these, like you didn't expect it. Duquesne wins the Colonial, like all these things you did not anticipate to happen. But Indiana State did everything outside of like 90 seconds of basketball at the end. Like, St. John's did have, I mean, they did have other opportunities. I mean, the coach came out during the regular season and is like, you know, my guys just aren't very good. Like, what they're doing is unacceptable. So, I don't know, man. I don't know if the answer is to go to 96, which seems like it's way too many teams, but something clearly didn't work. Last night was not great by the committee. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and on top of that, look at, look at UConn's road that they have to go through.
By the way, and I watched them.
That's the best team.
That they are just, I mean, that's a sensational team.
Yeah, they're a great team. And I think I was watching a lot of the coverage, and I think they had, Billis, Seth, and Jay Will all had UConn winning the championship again.
It's hard to pick against them.
It is hard to pick against them. I would agree with that.
So you mentioned their road. So first-round Stetson, that should be easy. Florida Atlantic, Northwestern. I mean, Florida Atlantic was a Final Four team last year, and they returned almost their entire team.
Yeah, I continue.
And then you're going to get, I guess, either San Diego State or Auburn, I imagine. Auburn just won the SEC, which is a power conference, right?
Yep.
And then you're going to get Iowa State, who you could argue is like the, I don't know, top five team in all of college basketball right now, who just beat up on a team that a lot of people really like in Houston. So that's just to get to the Final Four.
Right.
Right? That's just to get there. And then it would be, I don't know, North Carolina or in Arizona or somebody like that. And then, you know, open game on the championship. But here's the thing. Would you bet against them?
Would I bet against them? No. No, I would not. I'd have a hard time betting against them.
I mean, they're just so unbelievably great. They really are. And I tell you what, man, he is a great college basketball coach. Great.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. That's a really good team. I think there are a lot of people that were hoping that he kind of spoke up a little bit more about the Big East and the lack of representation. But, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, he's going to be on the K-Show this afternoon, Danny Hurley.
Nice. Yeah, but Patino's right. Like, at this point, what are you going to do? Complain about it?
No, just you're frustrated. I'm sure you're frustrated.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Full breakfast is coming tomorrow morning, courtesy of our dear friend Richard DiPietro, because the Rangers beat up on the Islanders yesterday at the Garden. But, Rick, you had a nice weekend, I think. Knicks with a good win, we'll get to that. And then the Jets, I mean, Tyron Smith, that's a good move for your Jets.
Yeah, that's a game-changing kind of move for us.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it also gives us a lot of flexibility here in the draft. I'm sure Bakhtiari's coming too, right? Didn't we say, we were talking about this on Friday, and I said, I mean, who says no to finding a way to get Tyron Smith, and then if it's now Brock Bowers at 10, I mean, now you have that option, depending on what happens now with Mike Williams today. If we can keep him inside that building and not headed to Carolina for a visit.
Well, that would be nice, huh?
That would be great.
It's a nice thing the Jets have going on now. Because Morgan Moses, and again, Morgan Moses is like, all right. But Morgan Moses is the second best tackle you bring in, and Tyron Smith. And now, I said the entire time, if you bring in Bakhtiari and you say to him, I need you to start at left tackle, disaster. If you bring in Bakhtiari and the expectations are almost none, that's a tremendous win. And if you bring him in now, that would be the situation.
Right, and on top of that, I was told by Raymond before the show that because he likes Tyron Smith so much that he's going to ease up on the Jets a little bit, maybe actually start rooting for them, which I like. Seems like they've figured out his kind of his practice schedule where he's really not taking live reps. He's kind of off to the side to keep him healthy.
Right.
The Bakhtiari thing is interesting because I guess this latest surgery that he had apparently fixed what they had screwed up initially. So I guess he's back to being healthy, I guess. But you're right. I mean, to just bring him in as the, you know, lone left tackle would have been a disaster. But this is, I mean, this is what you're hoping for. And I don't think Joe Douglas, you got to give him credit. He played the market perfectly. I don't think they thought this was like legitimately, there was a chance that this could happen. And I mean, they were able to get it done.
No, you should be very excited. I mean, really, because what were the things we said the Jets desperately needed? Offensive line help. Well, you know what? It feels like if it's not fixed, again, and I'm not opposed to, you said maybe you go with a weapon. Maybe you do. The thing is, you have a lot of options now. If you look at one of the offensive linemen and say, you know what, let me add another offensive lineman, let's do that. If you look at Brock Bowers or, you know, whoever happens, whatever receiver it is, or maybe you trade back and stockpile more picks, whatever. The nice thing is you're kind of fluid now if you're the Jets, which is you're not in a desperate place, which is a nice place to be in.
Right, and you also have, I mean, again, we've said it, a million times, that the draft can be a crapshoot, right? Like, did anyone think that Evan Neal wasn't going to be good and it hasn't worked out? So you don't know. You could love a guy, but at least now in free agency, you know, for Joe Douglas, the price has been right on some of these deals that he's just made. Is he's got proven commodities that knows he can plug in and play, and now when you get to the draft, like, would I be surprised if he trades down from 10? To try to pick up a second-round pick? No, I wouldn't be surprised because this draft is loaded with offensive linemen and wide receivers. Two things that you still need.
Right, and you can still, if you move back to like 15, you should still be able to get a really good offensive lineman. And then you add that second-round pick and maybe add another wide receiver. The two things the Jets unequivocally had to address, offensive line and wide receiver. Offensive line is, I don't even know it's done being addressed, but it's been addressed nicely so far, and you will change the way the wide receiver room looks. So I think you're going to go in with a lot of excitement again for the Jets. And I think you're going to buy in, and then we'll kind of see where we're at.
I got to tell you, too, a healthy Mike Williams.
Oh.
It, like, you talk about complimenting Garrett Wilson would be the perfect compliment. Sounds like they were in on Keenan Allen.
They were. And it feels like a lot of people thought that he used them a little bit.
Well, listen, I mean, that wouldn't be the first time that that's happened. I just don't know why why you were Keenan Allen, you would choose to go play with a rookie as opposed to playing with Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't make much sense, but I guess he probably feels like he does well with Caleb Williams all of a sudden now.
Yeah, but that's odd to me because it's not like he's 25 years old. Keenan Allen is, I mean, that is what, 31 years old?
I think it'll be 32, yeah, but I think my point is this, is that they're not paying Caleb Williams, right? So all of a sudden now he becomes for Caleb Williams what he was for Justin Herbert. How do you let him go? Like, there's more value to that for Chicago because they need Caleb Williams to work out, right? So there's a better chance that he probably gets a deal there at his age because of how important he would be to Caleb Williams.
Maybe you're right, but I'm just saying if he had a great year with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, you don't think that a team like Chicago that has a lot of money or Washington that will have a lot of money would spend big on him? I don't know. Curious to me.
Well, it does too to me, but when you look at the offensive weapons that they're putting around whoever they draft, I mean, that's – they got some pretty good players there now.
Oh, yeah. They've done real well. But I got to tell you, man, I think the Jets have done really well. And, you know, I said at the start, let's take it easy. And then I was getting a little antsy like 3 days in. But this weekend, and again, there's still a lot of work to be done, to be fair. But so far, I think you'd be silly to not say you don't like what the Jets have done.
A healthy Tyron Smith changes everything for that offensive line. Everything. Especially now because, I mean, you have two legitimate tackles. AVT, you can keep him at guard where he's most comfortable. He told us that's where he wants to be. The flexibility in the draft is also huge. And then on top of that, I mean, when you look at what Minnesota just did, four quarterbacks are going in the top 10. Four are going.
I don't even think that's a debate.
Which is good for us.
In fact, I would one-up you there, and I would say four quarterbacks are going in the top six.
Okay, so, I mean, again, so that you're going to have – you know, wide receivers, you know what I mean? Like, the more quarterbacks that go, the better it is for me.
Of course.
At 10.
Of course. Listen, four quarterbacks, you're 10. Four quarterbacks go, three receivers go, Joe Alt is 8, So now you're looking at a bevy of offensive linemen you could take at 10. You're looking at Bowers that you could potentially take at 10. You're going to have a terrific player sitting there at 10 for you.
Right. Now it's just, is it the player you want? You know, where is that player on your board? Or is it more value to, with where this draft is talent-wise with the positions that you need? Do you trade back and pick up that second-round pick that you lost in the Rodgers deal?
Yeah, I think it's all good things. If I tell you you're going to add Brock Bowers, you would love it. If I told you you're going to move back to 15 and still take a really good offensive lineman and add a second-round pick, at least one, I think you'd like that as well.
I would, but I got to tell you.
Yeah.
If you told me right now I had Breece Hall in the backfield, Garrett Wilson with Mike Williams, and then we add Brock Bowers, hooey.
You wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
Gets me a little excited.
You know what's going to happen? The big question surrounding the Jets is not going to be how talented they are. It's going to be health is what it's going to be.
Right. Of course. Well, I mean, look at the age of your quarterback coming off an Achilles, right?
He's not even the one I worry about. Like, Tyron Smith is great when he plays. The problem is he doesn't. I mean, there's zero chance he's going to give you 17 games. None.
Well, who knows? You say that, but who knows?
I know.
Now that they found this new way to try to keep him healthy, maybe it ends up working.
Ask Ray. Ray, is there any chance that Tyron Smith gives you 17 games?
I think there's a chance.
Oh, come on.
No, yeah. Look.
When was the last time he played 17 games?
It's been quite a few years that he has, but a lot of them were different type of injuries, and I think last year was when Dallas figured out something that worked. If the Jets... And again, there's no reason the guy has to practice like everyone else. He's good. He's when he's out there, he's elite.
By the way, the answer is 2015, the last time.
Yeah, 2015. That's right.
So stop it. Please stop it.
If it suddenly happened, I wouldn't fall out of a chair over it. I'll put it that way.
Onto the floor, out of a chair.
It's more likely than not that he doesn't play 17. But just give me this, that there's a chance.
I guess there's a chance that money's going to fall out of the sky when you walk to your car after the show, too.
Yeah, you're so negative.
I'm not negative. I'm realistic. RJ, can you chime in here for one time?
It'd be hard to go in thinking he's going to play... I mean, if he gives
you... Why do you want to be wet blankets with me today?
Don't go in and expect that he's going to play 17.
If I told you right now you're going to get 14 games from Tyron Smith, you'd sign for it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, of course I
would.
Yeah,
of course you would.
I don't know why I have to wet blanket it, though.
I said how great the Jets did tomorrow.
It's the same mentality behind his Islanders tweet. And I say this as a Rangers fan. Same mentality.
It's nasty.
No. The Islanders fan came from a place of aggression. This Jets take is just an honest assessment that... To expect him to play 17 games or think there's a chance of that is silly. He's great. If you get 14, you should be thrilled about that.
I know what this is.
I know exactly what this is. What is it?
You're afraid that you're not going to get your quarterback now. That's what this is. You're afraid. You're scared.
No, one has nothing to do with the other.
Minnesota's coming, and you may be the odd man out. I get it.
Nothing? No. No, oh, my God. All right. Good. Bank on him for 17 games. We'll see how that works.
I'm not banking.
Bank on it.
Write it
in pen. Depth chart. Tyron Smith, left tackle, 17 games.
I'm lightly writing it in pencil.
Yeah.
Lightly.
I would very, very lightly write it in.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
That win on Saturday night for the Knicks was, I got to ask you, I think one of their better wins of the season. I mean, Sacramento is a very good basketball team. You neutered them. I mean, that's a team that can score. They scored, what, 91 points, and it's another game where you watch Jalen Brunson play and say to yourself, this is a star player in the league. I think the Knicks had three guys in double figures led by Brunson, who had a whopping 42 of their 98 points in that game.
Yeah, defensively, too. I mean, that's really been the biggest thing. Fifth straight game holding teams under 100 points.
That's right.
We had Carl talking about, you know, Sabonis in the fourth quarter, didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. That's a really good player. I mean, that team, I think they average 118 points a game, and you held them to 91, their second lowest total of the season. So you take that and you couple it with the fact that Jalen Brunson, dude, and the one play, man, where he, I know we mentioned this last week, just how smart he is, and maybe that's just because of, like, you've watched the videos with his dad, right? Like, I mean, that's a big deal, right? Like, I mean, that stuff, when your dad played in the league, now he's your coach, like, to have that, like, cerebral part of your game where you can just see stuff that other people can't, like, what he did to Keon Ellis with the fake hand signal, and he turns his head and blows right by him. I absolutely love that.
Well, it's kind of like a coach on the floor.
Well, that's what he is. Well, that's what you want from your point guard.
Of course it is.
Like, his ability to, because he's not a big guy, but he's tough as nails. He's physical, and also just, like, how smart he is. Like, able to get to his spots. Like, he is a pleasure to watch play basketball.
He is a pleasure to watch. And I don't know if you see what Raymond tweeted. He's watching everyone else's tweeting patterns, but he tweeted last night, Jalen Brunson, MVP. And he's like, that's right, I said it. I've been with him. I don't think he'll win it, but do I think that he's, like, you have to sit down and take him into real consideration? I mean, yes, the guy is an absolute sensation.
Yeah, he's not going to win it, but, I mean, you take just the definition of most valuable to his team. I mean,
exactly.
Jalen Brunson has to be in the conversation.
Tell me who's been more valuable.
Yeah, but then it goes back to the age-old, you know, conversation mm-hmm. we've had. What, in fact, does MVP mean?
Well, it's usually the best player on the best team, but...
All right, so Knicks clearly not going to be the best team. I find it hard to believe that a guy like Jokic.
No, it's
going to
be. You know who it's going to be. It's going to
be Jokic or Tatum.
And I also think, I mean, Shai Gilgeous should get some votes too.
He should.
I think that's fair.
Because he's been really good.
He's terrific. But Brunson has to be, like, you can't put Brunson on the list and just, like, bypass him. He has to be considered as far as the MVP conversation is concerned.
And to be clear, Dave, I'm just he's not going to win the award, and I know full well. I'm just talking about he's the most valuable player in the league.
Well, you see what happens without question. And this is even without, I mean, you're still playing without Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson, and it makes no difference because his return is the return that they need.
Dude, I mean, that's his seventh game with 40 or more. I mean, he went back-to-back 40-plus point games. He's only the fourth in the history of the Knicks to do it. Like, he is a special. I mean, he's who? I mean,
yeah, you're right. I mean,
where would you put him?
Having a lack of things you're able to even articulate is exactly right. That, I mean, this is one of the great free agent signings in the history of sports.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, in the landscape of the Knicks. Like, with how good he is, I mean, at a position that we desperately needed for how long? Like, I just, like, in the effect he has on winning, the effect he's had on the culture of this team, I mean, is he the best Knick we've had since Ewing?
Yeah. Like, he's better than, I'm not looking to get into the argument. He's better than Randle.
Yeah, he's better than Randle. I think the question is
he better than Carmelo Anthony is the question, right?
Well, Carmelo with the Knicks? I think all in for everything that he brings? Probably.
I would think so, too.
I mean, he's been that good for us.
I would think so, too. Yeah. I think, can you argue that he's the best Knick since Patrick Ewing? I mean, so you're looking at, I mean, that level of Ewing was mid to, not even late 90s, like probably 96, 97. So you're saying, is he the best Knicks player in the last pretty much 30 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, who could even be in this debate? Allen Houston?
Allen Houston, I think
probably
Carmelo's...
not, but I'm just mind you that the Knicks were so bad for so long,
right? I think Carmelo was probably the one that you would look at.
Carmelo Anthony
when having that conversation.
He's better than Carmelo Anthony.
I think he is too.
I think he's better than Carmelo Anthony. I you know what? I still think you need another piece, but I'm leaning more towards this could be the guy in a championship team than I ever have.
By the way, he's doing all this too without Julius Randle, who's an all NBA player.
That's right.
Right. So,
and who, I mean, right now, who's their second best offensive option?
Probably DiVincenzo.
Okay. And DiVincenzo on a great team is nowhere near the second best offensive option.
No, like, dude, like last night you had DiVincenzo. I mean, they didn't shoot well from three. He had 15 points. Alec Burks had 12.
And that's it.
Bogdanović had a good fourth quarter. He had 9. And then it's 42 from Jalen.
No, nobody else got into double digits. It was, right? It was the Burks, two guys you mentioned. It was Burks had with 12.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo had 15. And no one else outside of Brunson got into double digits. And somehow you found a way to beat. And this is, you didn't go on the road and beat a garbage team. You went on the road and beat a really good basketball team.
A really good basketball team.
And in fact, when we looked at it and played the game of, is this going to be a win or is this going to be a loss? Most of us thought, you know, this was going to wind up being a loss.
Yeah, but they don't lose much with OG in the lineup. I can tell you that.
What are they, 15-2 now?
15-2.
By the way, I mean, it's like, I'm like bipolar with this team. Like, they're going to wind up in the 7. They're going to be in the play. And they're going to wind up at the 3. They're gonna, every game, I'm shifting. I'm moving. I can't decide what direction to go in. Do you realize right now they are 2 games in the loss column behind Cleveland? 2 games behind Cleveland at the moment.
Right. And Donovan Mitchell's not right. So he's going to miss more time. I was reading a bunch of stuff on him, and he's like, I can't fool myself. I can't fool anyone else. I'm just not right. So
do we go back to the 3 seed being very realistic?
That's where we want to be, yes.
So you want to go there?
That's where I want to go.
I think I'm going to go back.
That's where I want to go.
But I'm not going to, okay, no matter what happens tonight, I'm not going to change off going after the 3 seed. Because, I mean, there is a real chance they're going to lose this game tonight in Golden State.
There's a possibility, yeah.
There's a real chance. You kind of expect them to lose this game, no?
I would be surprised if they won, but I think the way that they played defensively lately, it's going to, I mean, they're in every game. I mean, would you doubt?
No, I wouldn't doubt anything.
Would you doubt them now?
No, I wouldn't doubt them, but I'm not going to freak out if they lose this game today. Like, you winning that game, if you told me right now the Knicks can go 1-1 at Golden State, at Denver, I mean, I wouldn't need, if you told me the Knicks win tonight, I would punt on the game in Denver. Is how thrilled I'd be with the 1-1.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it's a great start to the trip. You figured Portland, and then you're playing a really good Sacramento team. And, again, great defense. They found a way. Really good in the fourth quarter. Jalen was special, like he's been. When you're holding teams under 100 points, you're going to give yourself a chance to win every night.
Every team, every game. And not only under 100, like Philly was under 80 twice, right? I mean, Sacramento was barely over 90. Like, your defense is ferocious right now.
Right, and every team keeps talking about how physical this team is, which lends itself perfectly to the postseason.
Perfectly to the postseason. The only question you have is, does every team that's not bringing that brand of basketball to the table now, do they bring that to the table come April and May?
That's the question. But I think that you could also say that having a rested Julius Randle coming back, I mean, what that's going to do for you as a team, too.
I agree. If I get something close to full capacity of Julius Randle, right?
Yeah, which I think you probably will when he comes back. It's just like, how long will that last with the pounding he's going to probably take on that shoulder?
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to go around the league, and then we got to get into this Mets story as well. We have more college basketball. We got to get back into the Jets. Like I told you, it's a very busy, it's a great Monday, actually. It's DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, now discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with a lion's share of promotions and betting options. This is great. Take notes, please. Whether you're cheering outside or from the comfort of your couch, BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you earn BetMGM rewards points, which means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real-world rewards. And one of MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Download the BetMGM app today and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms. Must be 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen, spoke over the weekend. You want to hear some of what he had to say?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. Steve Cohen, no new contract at the moment with first baseman Pete Alonso.
We haven't had any discussions, and I think at this point, I think, you know, as far as for Pete, it's best for him to go, you know, have a great year and not be distracted. I think it's best for the ball club. We know how to do this. You know, we did it with Edwin. We did it with Brandon after the season. And so, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there.
See, here's a nice thing for me. And that is, if the Mets, and I don't know that they want to, if the Mets intend to and want to keep Pete Alonso, they'll keep Pete Alonso. I'm not concerned about that.
Right. Here's where I would disagree a little bit, is it depends on the player. Not every player is built the same.
Right.
Like, some players can deal with, like, some players actually thrive with the opportunity, like, one one-year deal, go out, you know, prove to everyone how much you're worth. They thrive on that. Some players can't handle that kind of pressure, and it has a negative effect on them.
I don't know, and I understand what you're saying. I would think Pete would be okay with this.
No, I think in a perfect world, Pete would like the deal to be done already, I'm sure. If he's true to what he's saying, that he wants to be a New York Met, he would probably like the security of having a deal done at the money that he wants. They're not willing to give him the money that he wants, so he's gonna have to play this year out, hit the market, and then see what his real value on the market's gonna be.
That's right. I guess the question is there a team willing to spend wild amounts of money on a mediocre defensive first baseman with tremendous power?
Well, he's also one of the most prolific
home run hitters in baseball. Absolutely. Listen, he goes to Chicago, plays with the Cubs. You tell me you couldn't see him hitting 50 home runs.
I could see him hitting 50 home runs for the Mets.
Right. I mean, he's hit 50 home runs for the Mets.
So, yeah, listen, we've gone over this 1,000 different times. You know, the contracts that have already been signed that hurt him and what he's looking for. And, I mean, if he values himself you know, at the same level as an Aaron Judge, he's going to be disappointed because they're not going to pay him like that.
And nor should you. I mean, let's be fair. And I love Pete Alonso, and I'd like to see him stay with the Mets. He's not and nowhere near Aaron Judge. It's just
right. You know,
factually correct.
Right. You know what's going to be funny about this whole thing, though? It ends up being, especially now with all this Judge stuff and, you know, how he's going to manage his toe. It may end up where Judge ends up playing first base anyway to keep him healthy.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that. And not that you sign him as a defensive guy, but he's an elite right fielder / center fielder.
Right, and he's going to play center field. I'm with you 1,000%. Like, I mean, Pete Alonso is a really good player, and I'm emotionally attached to him.
Right.
I think by the time, you know, if he gets a new deal, by the time all is said and done, he'll probably be the greatest, you know, Met position player that we've ever had.
I think that's fair. Yep.
Right, but Aaron Judge right now is considered the best in baseball. He's an elite right fielder. He's going to play center field. I mean, he's one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball. So he got paid what he got paid. And he actually took a little bit less money to be a Yankee and be the captain and all those things. I think what the Mets are planning on doing is going heavy this upcoming free agency. And can they, like, if they sign Pete now to a number that they're both comfortable with, that's going to limit how much money they're going to be able to spend this offseason when Juan Soto's available.
Right.
When, you know, Max Fried, like, they're going to need pitching.
Shane Bieber's available. I mean, who do the Mets have actually locked in as far as future with starters?
Senga.
And Manaea, I think, right?
Manaea's got an opt-out.
So they have one guy?
Manaea can opt out, yeah.
So they have one guy that you know will be here down the road.
Yeah, Quintana's a free agent. You also have
Severino's a free agent.
Severino's a free agent, and then what's his name? Why does it slip my mind? The guy they just brought in, Hauser, free agent.
Adrian Hauser, free agent. He got lit up this weekend too.
Yeah.
Again, I think. Listen, they're gonna this idea the Mets are gonna be bad for a long time is just silly. Now, whether it's this year is gonna be great or not, I have reservations about that. What I don't understand, why don't they just go sign JD Martinez?
Well, you know why they're not going to sign JD Martinez? because they don't want to take at bats away from the young players. They're going to use this as an opportunity to see if the young players can play.
I got to tell you, man.
JD Martinez is a DH.
I think there's a real chance that Mark Vientos is just going to be a bad baseball player.
Hit a bomb yesterday.
He's got prodigious power, but do you want a guy hitting 211 that's going to have prodigious power?
No, I don't.
Hitting in the middle of your order.
Listen, I'm with you, man. I don't think you need to waste the season. I mean, I think you have enough. Like, I think with the additions that you've made, like defensively, you have a really good defensive outfield, right? If Marte gets back to, I'm not saying he has to be an all-star, but better than we saw last year when he was dealing with the, coming off of the double hernia surgery. I think offensively, you got enough. The bullpen's going to be good. Like, it feels like if you made, and I'll say it again, like if you bring in a Jordan Montgomery, and maybe you wanted to add a JD Martinez, like there's a real chance you could compete for a wild card.
For whatever reason, it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. All right, that being said, Steve Cohen, what are your expectations for the Mets this season?
I think making the playoffs. I think that would be, obviously last year was a real disappointment. You know, we came in with high expectations, and that's, when you get there, I wasn't expecting what happened. I think we've built up sort of the floor of what's possible. Listen, there are a couple great teams in the National League, but other than that, I think we're as competitive as any other team.
I don't know. Listen, you're nowhere near Atlanta, you're nowhere near Philadelphia, you're nowhere near the Dodgers, right? So it's three teams, take them off and put them to the side. Are you better than Milwaukee? Are you better than
Arizona,
who went to the World Series last year? I mean, I don't know. Are you better than the Giants?
Well, that's the thing, though. That's the disconnect for me. I understand what the plan is, and I feel like they do have a plan, but it doesn't feel like there are things that they could do right now that I don't think affect that plan.
Right. Like, you can keep the plan in place and make a tweak. Sounding J.D. Martinez, I understand you want Vientos to play, but you know what? Someone's going to get hurt along the way, that Vientos is going to be in the lineup and Martinez can be in the lineup. It makes no sense not to sign Jordan Montgomery, because you could always use that. You know starters are going to go down. So I just feel like you could kind of scratch the itch of everyone now and also plan for the future as well.
Right. Like that would be my whole argument. Like there's a reason. The ability to do both without affecting, trying to win now or giving yourself the best chance to win now and be a playoff team and not affect your long-term plan.
Let's answer the question. Here's Steve Cohen. Have you been tempted to keep adding players via free agency?
That's not my decision. That's David's decision, and obviously if there's something to do, he'll present it to me. And otherwise, the club looks good. We're 2 weeks away from, actually 10 days away from the first game. And so it's getting a little late to add.
I mean, you say that, but is it really?
Well, it sounds like in his mind it is, but it also sounds like, which I like, is that, David Stearns is the one
that's
going to make the decision.
I love, I bring in a baseball guy. I bring in a guy that knows a lot more about baseball than I do, and he's going to be the decision maker. In the same vein, though, there are free agents you could add which would make you a better team right now. It exists.
It does exist. It absolutely exists. And for whatever reason, like the pitching thing doesn't make sense to me unless the plan this offseason is going all in and there's, a couple guys that they're going to target and it's going to cost them a lot of money. Sounds like they're going to be on Juan Soto, and that's going to cost you a ton of money.
A ton of money. And you're going to probably be after Bieber or Fried or one of those guys, which is going to cost you a lot.
Walker Buehler. I mean, there's some. Corbin Burns is going to be a free agent. There are some attractive names. It's just like, and the other thing though is I don't know what Jordan Montgomery is looking for either.
Right, he might be looking for 5 years at God knows what.
Right, and that's the scary part. Now we're so late into this thing. Is what kind of. What kind of season do you get from him now that he's missed this much time of spring training?
Yeah, it may take him a while to ramp up. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. A big 9 o'clock hour. Stuff you missed. I mean, hopefully there'll be some comedy involved in that. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get back into the Jets and the Knicks and all of it right here on 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from TruGreen. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? TruGreen has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TruGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TruGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TruGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TruGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Sherry made me go out with a former boyfriend of hers. So we sat at some restaurant and we had a beer and a little food and that was it. Yeah, I like carrots.
You know what that guy was doing the whole time?
He was sizing me up. Yep. I felt so good about it.
Yeah, but he went to MIT, man.
Yeah,
come on.
How am I going to be threatened by a guy named Morgan?
Morgan Freeman? Kill you.
He's in his 80s.
Still
no,
thinking.
With his voice he would.
Well, now murder you.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Good luck.
On 98.7. ESPN. You're telling me
I'm just a friend. All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Big 9 o'clock hour. So much to do. Do you feel like we're hitting everything we need to hit today?
I think we've hit a lot.
Yeah, I do as well. You know, we haven't hit a little update on Gerrit Cole. You want to hear from Yankees GM Brian Cashman?
Yeah, we got some nerve irritation.
Yeah, let's take a listen. Here is Brian Cashman, courtesy of Yes on their ace pitcher.
How he was sharing what he was feeling and how it, and he knows his body inside out, he gave me comfort during the downtime that, you know, I think we're going to be in an okay place or a good place. We just do have to do the testing and go through that and interpret what that means and get the party line going. And ultimately, you know, Neil Eltrage is out west, which involves a flight and time zones and stuff like that. But in the end of the day, once the plane landed on it, you know, there was a full thumbs up, which was great.
So Yankee is feeling very optimistic on this injury update from Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's not great. I mean, it's you're missing the best pitcher in baseball.
For an extended period of time, yeah.
Right, so that's not great, but I mean, it's better than the alternative. I mean, the real question with this is, yeah, it's not a tear, which is great. And, you know, they have a plan in place. And that, as an athlete, that's really what you want. Because, I mean, you heard what he said. Like, athletes know their bodies better than anyone else. And he felt like something was wrong and it needed to be taken care of. So now they have an idea what it is, how to treat it, how to fix it. It's just, I mean, the unknown of,
right,
like, what it is, like, what he looks like when he comes back, how long it lasts. Is this something that acts up again on him?
Well, that's the concern. I mean, even if it's not a tear, if it's a nerve irritation is what they're saying, what happens if the nerve irritation acts back up a month after he comes back to the Yankees?
Right. And that's a scary proposition because a lot of your hopes and dreams for this season are on the right arm of Gerrit Cole.
I would say more than a lot of them. I would say almost. Here's what I would say: you cannot win with him. You can't win without him.
Yeah, listen. For the time he's going to miss, I think they'll be fine.
I agree.
But to try to win a World Series without him is.
Speaking of trying to win the whole thing, your New York Jets are making splashy moves.
Very splashy moves. I do have I have a little J.J. McCarthy little nugget.
Okay.
For you at some point.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
I want to get into the Jets now. Before we get into stuff you missed, what do you think? You need about 2 minutes with your McCarthy nugget?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So we'll give you like 90 seconds to 2 minutes and let you kind of spread your wings and get into that. I can't believe people are attacking me because I think the Jets have done well here. I think that this is what you have to do. You have to take big risks on short-term plays, and that's what the Jets are doing. Morgan Moses is a good addition. I think that Tyron Smith is a really good addition, and I don't think this is the last you've seen of the Mets making splashy moves.
No, and listen, and it wasn't necessarily going to be the kind of splashy that I think a lot of Jets fans were hoping for, like where Joe Douglas is just, you know, caution to the wind. I don't care, you know, what it looks like years down the road. I'm just going to throw a bunch of money at these problems. That's not what he did, and I don't think that's ever what he was going to do. Like, he was trying to play, you know, play the market the way that he feels most comfortable. And the fact that, you know, Tyron Smith, I mean, you got Tyron Smith on a 1-year deal.
Right.
For a guy who's an all, like, when he's healthy, one of the best left tackles in the sport. He's an all-pro caliber.
A desperate need. You had a guy that was unplayable last year in Mekhi Becton. It ranks as one of the worst offensive linemen in football. You now add, and again, the big risk is injuries with this guy. But as far as talent or how he plays when he plays, he is elite.
Right. So outside of the injury stuff, which I know is a concern, and it should be a concern, especially with your quarterback at his age coming off an Achilles, I understand that. But it's also, you said it, you know what he is when he's on the field. You have no idea what whatever tackle you're going to draft in this year's draft, if you do draft a tackle, is going to look like as he makes the transition from college to the NFL. And you don't have time for him to figure it out. You don't.
No, you don't have – the Giants have the luxury of time. The Jets do not. So every move that the Jets make has to be a – that guy can help us immediately. Not let's build into it, let's grow into it, let's see what he has in the future. It's Morgan Moses helps the right side immediately. Tyron Smith helps the left side immediately. Any receiver you bring in is going to help you immediately. They don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of people that just thought that because it's what we probably would do if our job was on the line, is get irresponsible. Like, whatever it takes, because none of this stuff is going to matter to me anyway if it doesn't work out. I won't be here to worry about the draft picks or the salary cap and everything else. But that's not what Joe Douglas did. I mean, just think about this. Joe Douglas, they get rid of Laken Tomlinson. So they save just over $8 million bucks by getting rid of him. They turn that $8 million, a little bit more, into a new right tackle and a new starting guard for what they saved on Laken Tomlinson. So, like, he's taking the finances into account, which I guess is smart in the long run for the health of the franchise. And you also have a, again, I'll say this because I don't want to get attacked. If healthy, a much improved offensive line.
I could not agree more. Now, but that's a big if, right? But you're not in a position where you could afford to have certainty. You're just not like, well, we'll draft the guy at 10. He'll be a great left tackle for the next decade, but there might be some growing pains. Sorry, doesn't work. You need to bring in a guy via free agency that can step in immediately and be more than competent, more than capable. And I think that's what you've done. Is there injury risk that goes along with it? A lot. And the guy never plays a full season. You have to manage him. He's got chronic injury. I get it. But when he's out there, which was more times than not this past season, you have an elite left tackle right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If there weren't injury concerns, there's no way you're getting Tyron Smith on a one-year deal. No chance.
He would have signed one of these five-year, $142 million deals.
Right.
With $80 million of guaranteed money.
Right. There was no way you were getting him. So, yeah. Right. I mean, is it a little bit risky? It absolutely is. But it also gives you now the flexibility in the draft to, you know, to do a bunch of different things. I could trade down if I wanted to, knowing that this draft is flush with, you know, tackles and wide receivers, and get that second round pick that I lost in the Aaron Rodgers deal. I mean, I could be, you know, where I'm in a spot now because it looks like there's four quarterbacks going in the top 10 where, you know, I get the offensive lineman I want. It could be a skill position player that I like.
I'd like to see them make a move for a receiver like a Mike Williams or T. Higgins or someone, and then draft another offensive lineman.
Yeah, listen, I would actually like to see them sign Mike Williams. Don't let him out the building today because he's going to be there on his visit.
Right.
And then maybe even trade down and get a second-round pick.
And then go offensive lineman with 10 and receiver with the second-round pick?
Or no, not 10 because you're going to move down from 10.
Oh, right. Whatever. So offensive lineman with 14 or 15 and then receiver second-round pick?
Yeah, well, now you got a second and you got a third.
Right.
So.
And now you're cooking.
Now you're cooking.
It's exciting. I'm excited for you.
You should be excited. I'm excited. It took a minute, but I mean, it took a minute. We had all that. I mean, the fact that we were having the conversation about Aaron being a VP candidate was craziness. Yeah, but
we had to have that conversation.
I know, but the fact that we're having that conversation is nuts. Like, we're really entertaining that conversation.
I mean, can you imagine if I would have told you like 6 weeks ago? All right, so listen, probably mid-March we're going to get into these Aaron Rodgers going to run for vice president conversation.
No,
you'd have been like, listen, can you go? Like, honestly, go to a group home. Like, you can get out of here.
Like, maybe he had a comedy cell with RJ on the way.
I'd be great in the comedy cell.
I think you would. I'm not sure I'd go with the I just flew here and my arms are tired.
No?
I don't know if that's a great starter.
That's to start. And maybe you bring in like you go with the arms, right? Like you look at me. You see what I'm doing? Like you go like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if that's the way you want to start it, but
would you be like my Ed McMahon that if I'm up there and things are not going great, that if I tell a joke which is like moderately funny, you're like, ha, 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 ha.
I've already been criticized on your sloppy website for doing that anyway.
Not a sloppy website. Is that like
that was Raymond's Ed McMahon. Was that Raymond's Ed McMahon?
Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
Sound like you were choking.
It sounded like you're throwing up. RJ, why do you? Well, let's see how funny you can be. Give us an Ed McMahon.
No, I'm already not funny.
Do you know? Okay, here's my question. Do you know who Ed McMahon is?
Yes.
Okay. Who?
Legendary sidekick.
Of?
Really?
Oh no.
Yes.
I think you're insulting me.
You don't have the answer, though.
Why do you have to pick on me?
You're a bad guy.
Do you, RJ, do you not know?
You're such a bad guy.
Know.
Oh, what a bad guy you are.
How am I a bad guy?
Because you're a bad guy.
He brings a lack of knowledge to the show, and I'm a bad guy?
It was Johnny Carson, right?
Carson. Yeah. I was struggling on the name. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I know who he is. I struggled on Johnny Carson. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
Listen, I'm not funny. I'm not knowledgeable.
Well, you know, RJ, at this point, what do you even bring to the table?
Not much.
He's pulling the Happy Gilmore on you right now.
I show up on time.
You are timely.
That's all I do.
You got that going for you.
That's
so
it.
If you go to see RJ in the Comedy Cellar, I promise you he will be there on time.
I won't be there. I'm not funny. My ego's bruised.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
That's right.
I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
You know what, RJ? You are attractive.
You are handsome. Great hair. Yeah.
That's subjective, though.
No, sure people.
Not. I don't think so. I think there if you like, typed it into AI or whatever, and you said, is this an attractive person? It would say yes.
And you were the best looking woman of the four of us.
Not only were you the best looking woman of the four of us, you were very, very attractive.
Did you catch yourself just there?
Yeah.
You were.
I don't think I want to be in this spot, though.
I was going to say you were titillating.
98.7.
How you say Labushkin's funny?
I'm Labushkin. I'm leading some life here.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the great things you have.
Yeah. Labushkin and being an attractive ChatGPT woman.
Yeah, gorgeous woman.
I got it going on. This is me, RJ, the woman.
You could make babies.
Chuck, yep.
Made a beautiful baby.
When you put it like that, I really got a lot going for me.
Yeah.
You dominate Costco.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure you're a great dad.
No, Costco dominates me.
It's true.
He called us or texted us in fear in the corner of the yogurt aisle at Costco.
Listen, if you've ever been to the Brooklyn Costco, you'd say the same thing. That's a place where just you go to. It's not safe.
The name alone, Brooklyn Costco, just implies chaos.
Why does Brooklyn Costco imply any more chaos than another Costco?
Because the people there are crazy.
So you're calling Brooklynites crazy.
RJ, do you get the rotisserie chicken when you go to the Costco?
I have.
You like it?
I have, yeah.
Can't not get the chicken. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
The croissants, the chicken. Yeah, there's some good stuff there.
Seems like a great deal.
The croissants?
Croissants?
The croissant.
See, this is what he does to you. Now you're questioning whether you know how to pronounce it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not croissants. Croissant. That R does not make an appearance.
Croissant.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right, let's get to some of the calls, and then we've got Rick's Nugget and RJ's Stuff You Missed. Corey Edison. Hi, Corey. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So everyone's talking about Mike Williams. I think that would be a good, nice pickup if it's the right price. But the guy that's coming in this week that really piques my interest is Clowney, especially after losing Huff. I was looking at some highlights and stuff of him and with the Ravens, and he definitely had his best year this past year. And I think he just raises the overall upside of our defense. What do you guys think about that? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but, I mean, our defense is good.
Yeah, but I mean, Jadeveon Clowney would not hurt the defense.
Of course he wouldn't hurt the defense. I'm saying, as far as a priority right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a priority. Your priority is offense. Your defense was good enough as is. Now, you lose Huff, but you would imagine the first-round pick from last year would be, right? McDonald would be able to kind of fill that role a little bit.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they weren't on Keenan Allen. There's a reason why they're bringing Mike Williams in.
No, they are desperate for
offense. They need someone to put next to Garrett Wilson. Because Alan Lazard was he was brutal for us
this
year.
He is available, though, if any team would make an offer for him.
For who?
Alan Lazard.
Oh yeah, if anyone's looking to trade for him.
Anybody's looking to bring in a receiver that did nothing last year and makes a lot of money, you could have Alan Lazard.
Yeah, great.
Let's go to Randy in Brooklyn. Hi, Randy. Randy.
Hello.
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 Hi, Randy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One point, the Brooklyn Costco is chaos. My other point is that you're worried about these guys that are older, that are guards for the Jets. If we do wind up recruiting new guys in the draft, wouldn't they be able to help them learn the position better?
Yep. Yes. Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Like I said to Dave, if you say you stay at 10 and you draft whatever tackle you like, there's no rush to throw him right in if he's not ready. And once you recognize that he is ready, if he's dominating practice, I have no problem with him playing right
spot.
Play right tackle.
To be in a position where you can draft the guy. If he's great, you can play him. If he's not ready, you don't have to play him. That's a luxury.
And let's face the reality here too. Someone is going to get hurt anyway.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. All right. What's your JJ McCarthy nugget?
Oh, this was pretty interesting. RJ likes JJ McCarthy, but RJ's surprised with,
I don't know.
Okay. I think he's a little bit surprised with how high it seems like JJ McCarthy is going to go. So I was reading something this morning, and it says, okay, here's the quote. JJ McCarthy has talent. I think we all recognize he has talent. The reason why he's so highly thought of league-wide, because he plays inside the structure of the offense. Executes plays called, doesn't freelance and deviate from structure often. Coaches spend hours game planning. It's almost meaningless if you got a quarterback where the foundation of his game is playing outside of the structure.
So that's a positive about him.
Right. Talented.
That he's willing to kind of stay within what the coach wants him to do.
Right. Kind of like that. Remember we watched the quarterback show with Kirk Cousins?
Right.
And the coach kept telling him, listen, there's a reason why I drew it up this way. I'm going to call it. You run it. I promise it's going to be open. Like, you got to think how much time the coaches spend, especially the good ones. Like, that's why, I'm telling you right now, that is why Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy.
Who is that from, by the way?
This is from Chad Forbes.
So that's a quote from a coach?
No, that's just what he's learned from.
Okay, so people he's spoken to.
All
that's
of his draft study, yeah.
You. All right.
Yep. Interesting. But I think that's what, that's why Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy, I think.
He just does what he wants him to do.
Right. And Kyle Shanahan's great at what he does. So, like, there's a reason why I spend hours and hours and hours game planning and calling certain plays. And if, you know, the foundation of your game is like, I'm not going to play within in the confines of this offense. What good is it for me to be great at my job? That's probably why Sean Payton used to get pissed at Russell Wilson all the time.
I'm sure, because that's the last thing a coach does. That has something in place and you deviate from it. Now God knows what happens.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.